certainly it's an extreme contrast to the kind of music we listen to today. The louder the better. Volume way up. Apparently Bach had both a clavichord and a harpsichord. Similar instruments, the only difference is in the way the tone is produced. And when you hear it, you'll wonder about it, because apparently he preferred the harpsichord because it was more brilliant. Something about the construction of the clavichord makes it possible to shade, play softly, and so on. But the harpsichord has no way of adjusting it. In that respect, I'd like to just make comments, because since my teaching is mostly in piano, I get a little annoyed at people who take a look at the piano and say, well, that sounds the same no matter who plays it. And that just simply is not true. In under perfect conditions in a physics laboratory, you could measure and demonstrate that any single note can be played with 40 different qualities of sound. And it's pretty apparent that it isn't just enough to have the right note at the right time. Now, there will be some wrong notes here today. We'll predict that. The sound cannot be varied. The volume is there, except for a little attachment here, which I'm not going to use. What does Bach do then in order sometimes to get contrasts? Well, as we progress in that, we're going to tell that anything that is running figures, linear sort of thing, melodies, little patterns, rather than chord structures, are effective on this kind of an instrument. On the piano, you have a pedal which will sustain something. Now, this is not possible here. And as you know, the tone is gone very quickly. Well, what did the composers in those days then have at their disposal to make a sound continue? I want you to notice it in the second number of the Gavotte. The only way to keep something coming is to play it over and over again. And that creates an illusion of sustaining its quality. All right, this first one is the invention in F. Symphonies and so on were written, the composers took many different kinds of dances and with certain key relationship created a larger composition. And they were happy to borrow from their present day material, which was folk dancing. So in this little gavotte here, you will find the way two movements up in this suite from which these two things are taken, but a saraband, minuet, and a musette, all giving a certain feeling of a difference of rhythm in order to lengthen the composition.
Oh,
the, first of all, two short numbers from one of the Bach partitas. The first is a saravan, and the next is a minuet. As you listen now, these are progressing a little farther on into more busy work as far as vertical sounds are concerned. But in much of chord structure for the harpsichord, it is often rolled rather than played as a single chord. And you'll also hear little ornamentations coming in. Listen to this one that has quite a bit more chord structure, and sometimes I'm not sure that it comes off well, but who am I to argue with Bach?
Thank you. Now, a little bit of a toccata in G minor. Our Messiah Chorus at home, a chorus of 300 and almost a complete symphony orchestra. I play the harpsichord for the recitatives and in some of the choruses for the Messiah concerts. Curiously enough, the harpsichord is written in some places where clarinets and oboes and bassoons play. And I'm sure you'll find this hard to believe, but with this tiny tone, where everybody is going full voice, I can wreck the rhythm. But this little plucked string will cut through even a large mass like that. And you can, if you feel a little ornery, you can ruin the rhythm. I don't think this would be complete without playing for Nora. Joseph Haydn's The Coffee Party. Thank you. Some of you on the staff particularly have been listening to the recording of this from a large cathedral in England. And you may be disturbed by the tempo that we give some of these, but I think we have to remember that the immensity of the cathedral dictates that tempo has to be governed pretty carefully. The first hymn, number 41, I've asked Phyllis to sing the first stanza. We will sing stanzas 2 and 6.
Beloved in Christ, we come by this service to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels and to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem and to see the loving kindness of our God and the babe lying in a manger. Let us therefore open the Holy Scriptures and read the earliest tale of that disobedience to God's holy will, which is common to us all. And then the story of the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord, to save us from our sins and to make us pure and happy. And let us thank him with our carols of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of his whole world, and especially for peace and goodwill among men, that all men may learn to love one another as children of one God and Father of all. And because this world must rejoice his heart, let us remember before him the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry, and the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart. Lastly, let us remember before God all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, with whom in his Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven in the words which Christ himself has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Almighty God bless us with his grace. Christ, give us the joys of everlasting life, and unto the fellowship of the citizens above, may the King of Angels bring us all. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Hymn number 17, stanzas 1 and 2.
Announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thanks be to God.
Hymn number 44, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God.
Number 21, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Virgin Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind with the manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
Number 38, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. passed in those days that there without a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed and all men would be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought home her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
Now we'll do two Christmas songs. The first one is number 22. And for this one you'll need that green sheet. Down at the bottom of one side there, you have an extra stanza. Yeah. So I will ever gladsome be. I'd like to have you include that before the final one. We've talked about it a little bit here, and we were surprised to find that Luther wrote this kind of a stanza in what is otherwise a very familiar sequence for us. As you see it, it's singing and dancing to thee. Stanzas 1, 2, 3, 4, and then this one, and then the glory.
Thank you.
abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Thanks be to God.
Hymn number 30, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Bethlehem, for love of man made man, create in us love so pure and perfect that whatsoever our heart loves may be after thy will, in thy name and for thy sake. Amen. May he who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly grant you the fullness of inward peace and goodwill. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
42, please.